The AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward.
Always streaming on the ABC Civic News, Media app.
I'm Rena Roy. The American woman and her child who were kidnapped last month in Haiti have been released, according to officials at the humanitarian organization where they worked. ABC's Matt Rivers just returned from Haiti and says
the circumstances surrounding their release still unclear. A Haitian law enforcement source told me that negotiations to secure the release started shortly after they were taken, but we can confirm that both Alex Dorsonville and her daughter are safe.
Former Vice President Mike Pence qualifying for the first GOP political debate 2 weeks from today. There's also word that Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has replaced his campaign manager, the third shakeup in his campaign in just the past month. There could be another indictment coming soon against Donald Trump, this one in the state of Georgia.
Sources tell ABC News the district attorney in Atlanta is expected to begin presenting her case to a grand jury next week, meaning former President Trump could soon be facing criminal charges in a fourth case.
ABC's Aaron Katursky. This is ABC News. Dozens of people are hurt after an explosion at a factory complex about 40 miles outside of Moscow on the same grounds as a plant that makes optical lenses for the Russian military. Russian officials say the explosion took place in a warehouse storing fireworks. Paperwork problems getting the blame, letting a convicted killer go free instead of serving time in Texas. ABC's Jim Ryan explains.
Nicolas Monarez pleaded guilty to the 2007 killing of a pregnant 18-year-old and her 19-year-old boyfriend. He was first sent to a federal prison in West Virginia to serve a 10-year sentence on a separate drug case. He was supposed to be brought back to Texas to serve 15 years for the double murder.
That's where it went completely off rails.
Instead of coming back to Texas, Monarez was deported to Mexico. Dallas County District Attorney John Cruzeau.
We're now going back and changing our own process to make certain that that doesn't happen anymore.
The families of Monarez's two victims are furious that he may never do time for their killings. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Dallas.
Rena Roy, ABC News.
This Saturday, The Price is Right is coming to Amory. Shop at local stores from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. for a chance to win some amazing prizes, like a free trip or a new car. Visit Amory August 12th for a fun day of shopping, food trucks, and live music. Amory Price is Right. Shop big, win bigger.
Professor Schwaber, what grade would you give the Supreme Court for their interpretation of the law?
That doesn't really work. The grade ordinarily would be how accurately and thoughtfully and carefully have you interpreted, you know, existing precedents. I tell you what, though, if I were teaching a course, let's say logic, and I was asked to grade this work in terms of its coherence and its rigor, a high D.
Wow.
A high D.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Mattenair. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state, and in your own backyard. This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 12:03. Good afternoon. I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republicans are trying to intervene in a Democratic lawsuit that aims to legalize drop boxes and make other changes to early voting in Wisconsin. Stuart J. Waddles has more.
The GOP filing says if the suit is successful, it could confuse voters and undermine confidence in the process. Republicans at the national, state, and local levels also argue they should be heard in a lawsuit filed by the group Priorities USA and the Wisconsin Alliance for Retired Americans. The Wisconsin Supreme Court outlawed absentee drop boxes last year. Democrats want the new liberal majority to overturn that ruling. Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media News.
The wait begins now to find out whether a boy in Chippewa Falls accused of killing a 10-year-old girl last year will be tried as a child or as an adult. A reverse waiver hearing that began Monday wrapped up shortly before noon today. Yesterday, an expert testified the defendant is in the autism spectrum and shows signs of poor decision-making and impulse control. The suspect is now 15 years old. He faces life in prison if he's convicted as an adult. Senator Tammy Baldwin is touting a new effort to study mental and physical health in rural central Wisconsin. Brittany Merlot has more.
Baldwin was at the Marshfield Agricultural Research Station in Stratford yesterday. Researchers there are looking for better ways to solve a number of health challenges in rural Wisconsin. Baldwin says it's a part of the mission of the Wisconsin Idea.
The walls of the classroom are the boundaries of the state. We want that to mean something, and an investment in a research station like this and the others around the state really do have that sort of applicability to so many.
The facility is part of the University of Wisconsin in Madison. Baldwin helped get $6 million in federal money for it. I'm Brittany Merlot, Civic Media News.
Like every other sector, there aren't enough healthcare workers in Wisconsin. Short-staffed hospitals and clinics mean slower service. Patrick Teep is a dentist in Verona.
Right now, I mean, I've been searching for a second hygienist for over 2 years, and the applicants are almost zero. And the issue gets to be is that means I have patients that are waiting far longer to get in for the care that they need.
Teep spoke at a forum on Wisconsin healthcare policy yesterday. Democratic Senator Kelda Royes says the new state budget only provides the bare minimum to meet the industry's needs. Republican Representative Barbara Dittrich touts the state's apprenticeship program as a way to steer young people toward healthcare careers. This week marks the 78th anniversary of the atomic bombs dropped on Japan at the end of World War II. The two bombs may have killed as many as 226,000 people. It's on the minds of those debating the pros and cons of nuclear power. Advocates for nuclear energy say it's a useful tool in the fight against climate change. But activist Mary Miller says nuclear power shouldn't be considered clean energy because the negatives far outweigh the potential for good.
Just like that power that was unleashed in the bomb, the use of nuclear energy for electricity, which is called nuclear power, cannot be safely anticipated, predicted, or controlled.
Experiments on new types of nuclear reactors are being conducted at the Idaho National Laboratory. Whoever won the $1.6 billion Mega Millions jackpot last night likely isn't from Wisconsin. The winning ticket was bought in Florida. It was the biggest jackpot ever for Mega Millions and the third largest prize of any in American history. Winners typically prefer the lump sum payout, which in this case is $783 million. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
For Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in Amory.
Today's the third day of hearings in the Lily Peters homicide case in Chippewa County to determine where the case will be heard in court. Peters was killed on April 24, 2022, and left in the woods near her home in Chippewa Falls. Chippewa County Circuit Court Judge Stephen Gibbs will decide this week whether the lone suspect, a 15-year-old boy, will be tried as an adult or if the case will go to juvenile court. The boy is charged with first-degree intentional homicide, which carries a mandatory life sentence in prison if he's convicted as an adult. He also has been charged with two counts of sexual assault. Testimony in the hearings has focused on the teenager's mental health and the different treatment options depending on where the case goes. A city in west-central Wisconsin is drawing attention from free speech experts over its rules for public comment. The Mauston City Council voted to approve a document shared by the city's mayor that seeks to eliminate disorderly conduct for the public comment part of city meetings. The document includes a rule that forbids attacks on a person, group, or organization. A political science expert at UW-Madison told WKBT-TV that the document, based on that line, could restrict a person's First Amendment rights to free speech and needs clarification. The DNR is reminding people to be safe when on or around water. After several deaths in Wisconsin waters over the weekend, the DNR says to use life jackets whenever you're out on the water. Officially, 9 people have died on Wisconsin waters this year, but that only includes data through the end of July. At least 5 people reportedly drowned in 3 different parts of the state this past weekend. Pabst Brewing said that old-style beer will once again be made in La Crosse. Beginning this November, the beer will be produced in the city after being made in Milwaukee since the brand changed hands several times over the years. Events celebrating the beer's return to production in La Crosse will be held later this year. Unity High School science teacher Brian Collins will represent Wisconsin in the National Teacher of the Year program. The DPI announced that Collins, one of 5 Wisconsin Teachers of the Year, will take part in national professional development and represent the state as part of the program. Collins has been a teacher for 22 years at Unity. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
And now, your Wisconsin weather from Civic Media.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. Starting off with a west wind today, cranking our highs back up to the low to mid-80s under partly cloudy skies. But a cold front will be dropping south through the state soon, bringing shower and storm chances along with it. The Storm Prediction Center has put northern and central Wisconsin in a marginal risk for storms to turn severe. This extends from St. Croix to Marinette counties, and all in between. Shortly, storms look to fire up in northwest Wisconsin and work their way east across the Northwoods and towards the Fox Valley. A quarter of an inch of rain is likely, along with frequent lightning strikes, small hail, and gusty winds. Most of southern Wisconsin will miss out on the rain, but a few spotty showers are possible late and into the early morning hours. Have a wonderful Wednesday, Wisconsin. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot, Civic Media News.
The Brewers lose 7-3 on bases-loaded walks to the Rockies. Good afternoon, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It was a tie ball game, 3-3, when the Brewers and the Rockies went into extra innings last night at AmFam Field. Brewers manager Craig Counsell sent in lefty reliever Andrew Chafin to the mound. He was recently picked up in that trade with the Diamondbacks. The Rockies TV network.
Bases loaded, no one out.
Now Cole Tucker, the hitter.
Ball four, not even close, and the Rockies have the go-ahead run. Bases remain loaded. No one out in the 10th, 4-3.
The Brewers pitchers walked 8 batters last night, 4 in the 10th inning. Craig Counsell.
We didn't throw strikes that inning, and that, you know, any time it's that kind of dramatic, it's going to cost you. And certainly cost us.
Next, the Brewers brought in rookie reliever Abner Uribe, who not only walked in another batter, but he also got tagged with a pitch clock violation. Counsell asked, did he regret putting in a rookie into a game with men on base and extra innings?
No. I mean, we got it. That's part of this process. That's part of being a big league pitcher. It's the 10th inning. So that's the spot for him. And it just, you know, he recovered, which is the lesson to learn from it. But it's, you know, it's spots you're going to have to pitch in as a big leaguer. So it's a good learning experience for him. And I thought he obviously struggled with the first 7 pitches and then got it going a little bit.
Game 3 of the series this afternoon. Right-hander Chris Flexen on the mound for Colorado against the Brewers' Adrian Hauser. Elsewhere, the Reds lost to the Marlins 3-2. The Cubs beat the Mets 3-2. Milwaukee remains 1.5 games ahead of Chicago in the NL Central. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers are back in Madison and hold practice today. Head coach Luke Fickell says right now he's looking for starters on both the offense and defensive line.
If you're not strong down the middle and everything that you do. So that's the nose guard, that's the middle linebacker, and that's the middle field safety in a lot of situations. The same thing offensive. You're not strong down the middle with your center and your quarterback and that tailback. I mean, you have no place to go.
NFL, the Packers in Cincinnati for joint practice sessions against the Bengals. Matt LaFleur on what kind of format he's worked out with Bengals head coach Zach Taylor.
We went through the whole practice in terms of what is the emphasis of the periods, the number of reps that the ones will be going against the twos, but it's hard to get into like real match, hey, we want to see this corner on this receiver. It just kind of, however it plays itself out, more or less.
Rookie defensive lineman Colby Wooden out of Auburn on facing the Bengals offensive line.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. Finally put some pads on and get somebody other than, you know, Packers. And they just happen to be a good team. So it's going to truly test to see what I got. And I'm excited for it. I'm looking forward to it.
That's Packers defensive tackle Colby Wooden. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
It's so hot. Wait. Now it's going to rain? It is summer in Wisconsin.
As much as we love it, we love to hate it too. Find a forecast you can count on along with the in-depth details you need only from the Civic Media Weather Team.
These extended conditions have led us into a flash drought. Sitting in these above average temperatures with minimal rain has swiftly altered the local climate.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup.
That's awesome.
Beginning at 6, Up North News. Then at 8, Stu Daniels. At 10, As Goes Wisconsin. Then at noon, Civic Media Network News. 12:15, Town Call. 1 p.m., The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Tom Encrute. Then at 6, The Maggie Dawn Show. This summer, things are heating up on Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Chance for scattered storms this afternoon. Otherwise, more clouds and sun. High of 80, westerly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Chance for scattered thunderstorms tonight. Lows dip down to about 53. Mainly sunny skies tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 78. low 80s, Friday and Saturday, with a chance for scattered storms, Friday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 75.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
Approach to homegrown radio, where you are the star, you are the talent, and you will drive the talking points of the day. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. I'm William Walter, Policy Research Director and Lead Training Organizer with Our Wisconsin Revolution. Unfortunately, Luke's OOO excursion is over. He is no longer playing hooky, and it's
I'm
not
back.
A party anymore.
Yeah, I hear you like to say that it's a party every time I'm not here. Maybe I should be gone more often then, Will. Maybe
that is a long-standing tradition, Luke. That goes back to the previous installment of our time together on air. It has always been a party whenever you're out of town. I like to joke that Papa Luke is gone.
And I would not have understood that reference one bit had Will not caught me up to what I missed.
Yeah, pretty much. But it's out of office.
Yeah. That's got to be like an old, I've never heard that term before. Referencing as like a triple O or O cubed. I don't know.
See, neither had I. That's why I mentioned it to Aaron yesterday. A recent car commercial I saw was talking about that. You know, you're OOO to go explore the wilderness or whatever. And I was like, what does that mean? And then the commercial explained it itself that you are out of office, and I was like, "Oh, that makes sense." But do people say that? Like, have people been
not
talking
us,
like
apparently.
That for years,
not
and I've
us.
Just not been made aware? I don't know.
The answer is no.
So, Luke, how was your hooky experience yesterday? You got a little bit of time to yourself.
Tea and lemon, and hoping the voice recovers, dude. So we'll see where we're at. But I'm glad to be with you here on this Wednesday afternoon. Third, fourth? I can't keep track of what Wednesday is your favorite Wednesday these days. Apparently,
it's not that complicated.
Tuesdays
Luke.
Are pretty good because there's a party
the
when in my absence. So I'm assuming Tuesday got bumped up a little bit higher in the Wednesday list this week.
No, it's still just the reverse order of the week. The closer we are to the weekend, the better of a Wednesday it tends to be.
Okay,
from my perspective.
All right. Well, what are we talking about today, Will? What's on the docket for Town Call today?
Well, I thought, in my opinion, a story that needs coverage. You know, we like to lead local, but in this situation, it's relatively local still. Midwest, sticking to our Midwestern homies. Ohio vote yesterday on issue one. The voters soundly rejected the GOP-backed proposal that would have made it tougher to protect abortion rights. Reading over from the AP, Ohio voters resoundingly rejected a Republican-backed measure that would have made it more difficult to change the state's constitution, setting up a fall campaign that will become the nation's latest referendum on abortion rights since the U.S. Supreme Court overturned nationwide protections last year. The defeat of Issue 1 on Tuesday keeps in place a simple majority threshold for passing future constitutional amendments rather than the 60% supermajority that was proposed. Its supporters said the higher bar would protect the state's foundational document from outside interest groups. Ironically, of course, this became a referendum on how much money outside interest groups could raise from both sides of the aisle. Reading over from a CBS News piece, J.D. Vance, the Republican senator from Ohio, had tweeted on the purpose of Issue 1 being to, quote, try to make it harder for out-of-state special interests to rewrite the Ohio Constitution, unquote. Ironic, of course, because CBS notes that a GOP mega donor has been pouring millions of dollars into the effort to hinder Ohio abortion amendment. This out-of-state billionaire, of course, Richard Uihlein, the Illinois shipping supplies magnate with a history of donation to anti-abortion groups, who was the top funder of the Protect Our Constitution group, having given $4 million of the $4.85 million the group raised. So special interest, Luke, their money was pouring into Ohio for this race, and the voters resoundingly rejected it, about 57 to 43. This, of course, is setting the stage for the upcoming referendum in the fall. But I think because there was not a whole lot of races going on right now in a similar vein to what we saw with the Wisconsin Supreme Court race, and because of the long-term implications that these races will have, outside spending groups were pouring their money and influence into it. So my question for the audience today is this healthy? Is it okay for national spending groups to be putting their money towards state elections in this regard? Is this an overreach of financial influence in democracy? I'd like to hear your thoughts. Give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789.
Yeah, Richard Uihlein, a familiar name here in Wisconsin as well, not just the familiar premise of having a lot of outside money coming into the state like we experienced in the April Supreme Court election here in Wisconsin, but also Richard Uihlein playing a large role in those donations coming in to the state as well. So something we're pretty familiar with here in Wisconsin. It is interesting to see now these standalone votes, though, in areas that are typically states that are trending or are solidly Republican strongholds, Kansas, Ohio, where you see this kind of 57, 43, 60, 40 margin, Will, that is supporting, and this one kind of is not a direct support of whether or not to keep reproductive rights and freedoms available to Ohioans?
I believe it's Ohioans. That sounds right to me, so I wasn't going to correct you.
Wrong,
if you
didn't though, pause. To me, as I said,
Ohioans sounds wrong.
I don't know. I hate the Buckeyes, so I know that they are the Buckeye State, but the Ohio State team, not a fan of here as a Wisconsin Badger, but
WBNS 10 TV says Ohioans, so I'm going to defer to them.
It just sounds weird. But see, that's why I love Wisconsinites, because it just rolls.
Crisp.
Yeah,
it's clean.
It just rolls right off the tongue. It works.
That's how we do it in Wisconsin.
But the fact that we're seeing this similar margin over and over again when it comes to since the Dobbs decision last summer, it is interesting to see that kind of recurring trend of a 60-40 split almost. And this one, again, not specifically surrounding abortion, but a big tent coalition coming out and I believe higher turnout in all than what the Secretary of State was planning to see for this kind of special election that took place in Ohio yesterday. It's just an interesting thing to keep an eye on and see those recurring numbers, Will, that we are seeing in some of these results.
Well, and it goes a little bit farther than just a referendum on abortion, Luke, to kind of provide some context. Issue one would have raised the threshold for approving future changes to the state constitution through the ballot box from a simple majority of 50% plus one to 60%. So essentially, and this is a quote from Democratic Senator Sherrod Brown, by rejecting issue one, Ohioans, there it is again, Ohioans, so that is correct, rejected special interests and demanded that democracy remain where it belongs, in the hands of voters, not the rich and powerful. I think that is probably the core tenet that we have to touch on regarding issue one, is that the Ohio legislature wanted to make it more difficult for the people of Ohio, the citizens, the voters in the state of Ohio, from being able to make changes to the state constitution through the ballot box. Currently, it is simple majority. They wanted to raise it up to 60%, which is, I think, taking the hands out of the people. You're trying to force a vast majority of support rather than just majority support. And that's a conversation that I think I hear a lot on the national level, particularly from elected conservatives, right? They talk about tyranny of the majority, when conceptually democracy is meant to be a majority. That's the point. And to give you some of the final numbers, with all precincts reporting and about 58,000 absentee and provisional ballots outstanding, according to CBS News, the measure has failed by a margin of 57.01 to 42.99. As you noted, Luke, this is a stereotypically conservative stronghold. A supermajority in the Ohio GOP legislature put this issue on the ballot with 2/3 of all members in favor. So that's north of 66%. Then it failed by over 13%. I mean, that begs the question, how representative is our democracy really when results like this are coming out time and time again?
It's all the Democratic voting individuals in the state of Ohio. They just are jam-packed in the cities, too. It's very probably very similar arguments you hear against why the sway is here in Wisconsin made up in the legislature that way as well.
How about this then, Luke? Clark County, which was plus 23 Trump, voted no by one vote.
Yeah.
16,015 to 16,014. That's a plus 23 Trump County.
Yeah. When you see the breakdown of numbers like that, it is important to keep an eye on and see where voters are on these issues. 844-967-2789. We want to hear your reactions to this story over here on Town Call. You can listen on the Civic Media app. Take us with you on the go. Head over to the Apple, Google Play stores. You can engage with the show right from the app. Call or text 844-967-2789. We're going to also be joined by Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area coming up for his Wednesday residency with us here on Town Call. So if you got questions for Dan, you can call in as well, 844-967-2789. It's important to note that Wisconsin has taken a step away from direct democracy like we saw in Ohio yesterday as well, Will. Something you were discussing as we got prepared for jumping on the air today.
Near and dear to my heart.
Yeah, the Wisconsin did not have direct action for direct legislation. Could not put a referendum that was binding to voters directly. That was not something we had. We did have advisory referendums, but that is past tense. We do not have those anymore.
Yeah, and so remember, Luke, advisory referendum are non-binding. It's more meant to be a test of what the voters believe should be done, a suggestion maybe. We could say to the elected officials, hey, this is what the voters think would be best. This is what we should implement going forward. But you are not forced to do so. You are not. It is non-binding. It comes with a name. But the GOP, Wisconsin GOP, decided to get rid of non-binding advisory referendum because evidently it was not enough to ignore the will of the people. They also must be silenced. This is, as I noted, near and dear to my heart, because as we've talked about on the show, this is something that my organization did in Dunn County. Regarding national not-for-profit health insurance program, which passed in a stereotypically conservative rural community that wouldn't necessarily be thought of as a safe location for this. But the point was to prove that these policies are popular with all Americans, regardless of party affiliation. We did prove that. I think a better example might even be on cannabis legalization, right? A number of counties and cities throughout the state have put forth advisory referendums regarding cannabis legalization. Every single one of them win by wide margins, 70-80% sometimes. And perhaps our elected officials don't want to continue seeing that because they're well aware of what the people of Wisconsin think. They just don't want to implement it either way.
Yeah, and so it's a frustrating update when it comes to direct democracy here in Wisconsin. But an interesting result out of the state of Ohio. I don't know if it was as shocking, Will, as the news when Nebraska decided to continue to
Kansas? Are you talking about the Kansas one?
Yes. Kansas. Yeah. See?
Yes, indeed.
Still a little cloudy. I was thinking
I got
Nebraska.
My Midwestern homies. I got our back.
It's Kansas. That's where it was. But Ohio's results yesterday, still pretty shocking. We want to hear your thoughts on them. We're also going to be joined by Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area. You can give us a call, 844-967-2789. You're listening to Town Call across Civic Media.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. Beginning at 6, Up North News. Then at 8, Stu Daniels on Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Jacqueline Lee. Nearly 2 weeks after being kidnapped in Haiti, an American mother and her daughter have been released safely. The Christian Ministry Group confirmed Alex Dorsonville, who was working in Haiti as a nurse, and her young daughter have been freed. ABC's Matt River says abduction is a constant threat in the Haitian capital.
Port-au-Prince continues to be decimated by gang violence. Just yesterday, the U.S. Embassy in Port-au-Prince was forced to temporarily close for at least a few hours because of a gunfight between Haitian National Police and gang members out front. Just another example that no part of that city right now is safe.
Ohio voters rejected a special election initiative led by Republicans to raise the majority needed to amend the state's constitution. It could have impacted an abortion access measure on the ballot in the fall. In Florida, there is buzz about the winner of the $1.58 billion Mega Millions jackpot. Lottery officials say one person holds the winning ticket. This is ABC News.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
For Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in Amory. Today's the third day of hearings in the Lily Peters homicide case in Chippewa County to determine where the case will be heard in court. Peters was killed last year and left in the woods near her home in Chippewa Falls. Judge Stephen Gibbs will decide this week whether the lone suspect, a 15-year-old boy, will be tried as an adult or if the case will go to juvenile court. The boy is charged with first-degree intentional homicide, which carries a mandatory life sentence in prison if he's convicted as an adult. Unity High School science teacher Brian Collins will represent Wisconsin in the National Teacher of the Year program. The DPI announced that Collins, one of five Wisconsin Teachers of the Year, will take part in national professional development and represent the state as part of the program. Collins has been a teacher for 22 years at Unity. The National Weather Service in the Twin Cities says that it'll be very summer-like today across much of northwestern Wisconsin, with temperatures into the 80s. There'll be rain chances later today and throughout the rest of the week. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
It doesn't hurt, feels good to help. And when you give blood, you provide a life-saving difference for others. The need doesn't take a summer break. So we have a challenge for you, started by Civic Media's Earl Ingram.
Congratulations to all those people and all of you who donate blood.
Take a selfie while giving blood, then post it along with hashtag Civic Pints. Give blood and you could get a prize too. Find challenge details and a donation center near you at civicmedia.us/giveblood. civicmedia.us/giveblood. Did you know the Wisconsin State Fair is 172 years old? It still celebrates the industries important to our state's history, like agriculture. But every year, new attractions and items are added. This year, there's more than 100 new foods to try. So what do you think topped the culinary list last year? Flamin' hot Cheetos chicken on a stick? Deep-fried old-fashioned? Or Pino pretzel popper brat? The answer's coming up. The Wisconsin State Fair didn't start in its current home of West Allis. The first was in Janesville along the Rock River, then moved to different locations the next 40 years. The original cream puff has been around almost as long. Close to 400,000 are gobbled up every year. So which food was number one last year? It was the Pino pretzel popper brat. It came out on top. The State Fair is a true slice of Wisconsin, and it runs through August 13th. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
A fifth dimension, beyond that which is known to man.
Milwaukee's best.
It's a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity.
Hey man, what about Milwaukee, man?
It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition.
I think God would want us to go to Milwaukee.
And it lies between the pit of a man's fears and the summit of his knowledge.
What do you think about Milwaukee?
This is the dimension of imagination. You are now entering the Recombobulation Area.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call. We are entering the Recombobulation Area today. It is Wednesday. We got Dan Schaefer here. If you got questions for Dan or any questions about the Ohio results from last night, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. Dan, how are you doing this Wednesday afternoon?
I'm doing well. It's a beautiful day here in Milwaukee, so enjoying it.
Nice. Well, we're glad to have you join us here on this Wednesday afternoon. We're discussing, you know, kind of the I don't know what to refer to them. They were the results. I don't know if people are shocked at this point or if this has become the standard in Ohio. And we've got a lot of things to look forward now, though, because you got this standalone election. You got a lot of focus in Ohio yesterday. We can talk about it. But something right around the corner, two weeks away, Dan. Milwaukee, not Ohio, is going to be the center of the political universe again. And then we so generously loaned the center of the political universe away to Ohio for the last couple of weeks here. But now we're going to take it back. We've got the RNC first debate kicking off.
We've been Wisconsin nice long enough, Luke.
Exactly. It's a Midwest thing. We're courteous about it. But we're going to be hosting, the city of Milwaukee is going to be hosting the Republican National Convention, the first debate, Republican National Committee's first debate. We will be hosting the convention next summer. This kind of kicking off the run to that convention, starting 2 weeks from today. You've written an excellent column about it over at the Recombobulation Area. What can you tell us about what's going on in Milwaukee between now and 2 weeks from today?
Yeah, so I think this is the part of the 2024 campaign where things move from the diners and the county fairs of Iowa and New Hampshire onto the debate stage for the Republican presidential primary. And in Milwaukee, the bright lights will be on Milwaukee 2 weeks from today on August 23rd. You know, as I was tweeting about this, someone tweeted back to me saying that is actually freshman move-in day for Marquette University. So not only will we be having about 10,000 people in attendance at Fiserv Forum for the debate, the whole media circus that the debate will invite down in the Deer District and around downtown, there's also going to be, a whole bunch of freshmen moving into Marquette. So it's going to be a really interesting day in the city of Milwaukee. It's kind of the unofficial start of the run up to the RNC next year, of course. But I wrote about this primary and kind of where things stand. And not only just where things stand, just the kind of big picture of this Republican primary, because I feel like there's a big question looming over all of it, which is that Donald Trump is way ahead of the field right now. Yes, of course. But this debate gives an opportunity for a lot of these candidates to share their message with a national audience. But at the same time, there's this puzzling piece of this primary, which is that even if Donald Trump were to lose, even if one of these other candidates were to start have a great debate in Milwaukee, start the momentum towards Iowa, New Hampshire, towards Super Tuesday, towards the primaries, toward all of that, we know Donald Trump is not going to concede. So what exactly is this primary? So I feel like this is a big piece of the primary that nobody is really talking about. Of course, maybe it doesn't matter because Donald Trump has such a huge lead right now. He's at he's in the national polling averages, he's over 53%. So he's at more than every other candidate combined in this primary. So maybe it doesn't end up mattering, but we're still going to be covering the debates. We're going to be covering the polling. We're going to be covering the fundraising, talking about all these storylines with Ron DeSantis and Mike Pence and Nikki Haley, Tim Scott, all these other candidates who are going to be on stage. But how much does it really matter if Donald Trump is not going to concede, because he still hasn't conceded the 2020 presidential election? What makes anyone think he's going to concede in a primary to Ron DeSantis or Mike Pence or any of these other candidates? So I feel like that is the piece of this primary that no one's really talking about as we talk about this like a traditional political campaign. And I think the national political media just has not adjusted to this post January 6th paradigm that Donald Trump has introduced to national politics.
Well, and it feels like, Dan, that there's a lot of the opponents in the Republican primary that still aren't. We've seen indictments come down now last week from Jack Smith in Washington, D.C., surrounding the plot to overturn the election and the violence that occurred on January 6th. And his opponents besides Mike Pence slightly coming out and being, oh yeah, he lost, and DeSantis slightly saying that Trump lost in 2020, the other candidates in this primary have been hesitant to say that Donald Trump lost. So it's not even just that Trump is not acknowledging that, and the question of
it's because the base refuses to acknowledge it. They're just catering to their base.
Well, is it going to take to the point where we see voters going and caucusing in Iowa and going to the polls in New Hampshire to see where they actually stand on this issue, or do you think we're going to see movement between now and then, Dan?
You know, it's so interesting because, like you, I think, Will, you're right, is the majority of the party's voters, of Republican voters, still believe the lie that Trump won the 2020 election. Like, there's polling that suggests that. All the Marquette polls that we've seen, I think, say the majority of Republican voters think that the 2020 election, you know, was either stolen outright or they, you know, have serious questions about the legitimacy or however you want to phrase it. But I think that's such a problem for all of these candidates because they're so hesitant to go at Trump because it's going to tick off some of their base. And that's a problem that we don't see with Trump. He's constantly shifting his views on things, and nobody, none of his base ever really seems to change the level of support that they have for him. So I think there's a real, you know, pickle here, but we're still going to be going through the motions and covering this debate like it's a normal political campaign. And I think we have to start to see some adjustment here because of the way that Donald Trump responded to the 2020 election and the way that he continues to think that the election was stolen from him, didn't ever concede defeat in that election. So what are we doing in this primary? I think that there's this really puzzling aspect of it that nobody's really willing to grapple with, which is that he's not going to concede. So what is this primary? What is exactly, what
especially
is happening?
Especially if he's not coming to the debates, right?
Like, right.
If he's not even going to be here to debate them, which he himself has posted on Truth Social, I believe is still his primary mode of communication, that, you know, I have a massive lead. This can only hurt me. Why would I bother showing up? This is my primary to lose, which, like, he's not wrong in that regard, according to the polling data. I thought what was really interesting from your piece, Dan, was comparing the polling data right now to the polling data from 2016's first debate. While Donald Trump still had the lead then at 22.5%, second was Jeb Bush, third was Scott Walker. Like, these races can change, and they can change very, very quickly. But in that race, still, Donald Trump's lead was at 22.5%. Jeb was at 12.7, Scott Walker at 12. It's in, you can't compare that to today's polling results, where Trump, as you noted, is at 54, DeSantis at 16, and Vivek Ramaswamy is third at 6%. Massive discrepancy today compared to what it was in 2016.
Yeah, and that was, you know, looking at what the field was on August 3rd, 2015, the date of the first Republican debate there, you know, even if you go down the list, you had a number of these candidates over 5%. You had Ted Cruz and Ben Carson and Mike Huckabee, Marco Rubio, Rand Paul, all at 5% or greater. Right now, the only candidates above 5% are Trump, DeSantis, Ramaswamy, and Mike Pence. And so you're not even getting much traction with the kind of rest of the field. You know, Nikki Haley, Tim Scott, Chris Christie, not really registering. You know, I think Christie was higher in New Hampshire. Tim Scott was higher in Iowa, when you look at the kind of the state by state polling. But Trump is just so far ahead of the field that it seemed, and DeSantis has really floundered so significantly. Like, in late March, he was at 30%, and now he's down to 16%. One of the polls in New Hampshire that I saw yesterday had him in single digits, tied with Chris Christie. Like, his campaign is going terribly. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think this is a really important moment for DeSantis, for a lot of these other candidates to come to Milwaukee and have a strong debate. I think this, even whether or not Trump shows up, I think this Milwaukee debate is going to be about the other candidates and whether they can, you know, kind of register some support on a national scale here with the bright lights. But at the same time, it's there's this paradox, because even if they do well, even if they win the nomination, I kind of walk this through in my columns. Like, let's say Ron DeSantis has a really good debate. Let's say he kind of carries that momentum into the other debates that we see out of the fall. Let's say he wins Iowa and New Hampshire and has this all this momentum, picks up a couple other wins in states going into Super Tuesday. Do we think Trump's going to be like, all right, The voters have spoken. I'm going to pass the baton to Ron DeSantis now and graciously bow out of the race and support the Republican nominee. No, I think it's more likely that he would continue to run as, you know, independent of sorts than to back any Republican nominee. So I think that's the type of thing that we should really be talking about and considering when we look at the end game of this primary. I think it's either Trump wins or Trump loses and says he doesn't lose and all hell breaks loose, right?
And so we've been experiencing the ramifications of those results over the last 3 years of him not acknowledging a loss. So it will be, you're right. This isn't even something before I picked up the piece yesterday, Dan. This wasn't even something that I was considering, was what happens if Donald Trump doesn't acknowledge a defeat in the primary. But do you believe that this is going to be, even if he is to skip out on the debate 2 weeks from today, say Donald Trump is not here and he does not come to Milwaukee, he's not in Wisconsin, he skips the debate because he feels he's got nothing to lose, do you think that there is the oxygen there for one of these other candidates to be able to start to pick up that steam? Because I have a feeling they're just going to be fighting amongst themselves and there's not going to be any real ground gained when it comes to catching up to Trump, who, if the polling's correct, is above 50% right now, go 2 weeks out before the primary.
Can I add to that question for a sec too before you answer it, Dan? Because I was going to ask essentially that same question. I'm curious then, you know, if this is Trump's race to lose, he has complete control. Is there going to be less attention at the debate? I think we both would agree the answer will be yes, but whether or not that matters is the real question. You were talking about if DeSantis, you know, comes out and has a great debate. I guess I'm curious as to your thoughts. Does that even matter? Can you have a great debate as an individual if the purpose of the debate is not to bring Trump back down to earth with the voters?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think, you know, I think to a certain extent, the Republican Party is repeating the same mistakes that they made 8 years ago when they wanted to have, when I think a lot of Republican voters wanted a candidate other than Trump. But they kept kind of like bouncing from Ben Carson to Ted Cruz to Marco Rubio and never coalescing around the one candidate. I think, you know, DeSantis is polling better now than any of those other candidates polled then, even after the drop he's had in the last couple months. So I think the opportunity really is for DeSantis to start to consolidate some of that support. But I think with how poorly he has run his campaign over the last couple months, I think you're even seeing some of these stories about like donors. Like I saw one story yesterday about a big Republican donor kind of jumping to Tim Scott. Well, okay. They're just kind of going through and repeating those exact same mistakes over and over again. I think there's opportunity if they were to all kind of back one candidate, back Ron DeSantis, for him to have kind of like the mano-a-mano matchup with Trump, which might be advantageous to him. But there's still all these other candidates that are peeling off 5% here, 4% there, and there's not really coalescing around kind of that one versus one that might bring people over to the DeSantis side.
Folks, you're listening to Town Call. That's Dan Schaefer, columnist of the Recombobulation Area, founder of the Recombobulation Area, joining us here on Town Call this Wednesday afternoon. If you've got a question for Dan, or would just like to share your take on the events of Milwaukee, going to be the center of the political universe again 2 weeks from today. We want to hear them. 844-967-2789. Town Call is going to be right back.
Larry, it's your mom. Did you know the Civic Media Network covers the whole state of Wisconsin? They can help your business get the word out, whether you want to reach a smidge of folks or just want the whole kit and caboodle. Call 608-819-8255. Okay then, bye.
This Saturday, enjoy the first ever Amory Price is Right event. Shop at local stores from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. for a chance to win some amazing prizes, like an all-expense-paid trip and a free car. Visit Amory August 12th for a fun day of shopping, food trucks, and live music. Amory Price is Right. Shop big, win bigger. Up
North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed Group.
The Joint Finance Committee, again in the middle of the night, took that out and said, well, hey, you have all this money coming from the federal government. Why don't you use that to create this program? Well, guess what? We proved it worked. Wages went up $2 an hour. There actually are a couple extra childcare businesses open now than there were about a year ago. And that's going to stop. Just Monday, we lost two.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
A guy named Bill out in Oconomowoc. Bill's got some thoughts on that.
Thanks for talking about what you're talking about right now. Your station, you raised the bar high for integrity. You are a community radio station, which means you look out for all the citizens in the state of Wisconsin.
Daily conversations about Wisconsin's latest headlines and stories. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast. Highs level off around 80 this afternoon under mainly cloudy skies with a chance for scattered storms. Winds out of the northwest, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Partly cloudy tonight. Chance for scattered thunderstorms. Lows dip down to about 53. Lots of sunshine tomorrow. Highs level off around 78. Low 80s Friday and Saturday with a chance for scattered storms Friday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM. Right now, 75.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. At 10, As Goes Wisconsin. Then at noon, Civic Media Network News. On Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. We got Recombobulation Wednesday. Dan Schaefer is here. Oh, it's been a lot of fun today, boys.
Yeah, it's a blast, and we're thrilled to have Dan join us on the airwaves. Talking to him 2 weeks from today. Wisconsin becoming the center of the political universe again. Milwaukee hosting the RNC's first debate of the 2024 cycle. And what may be surrounding that? And Civic Media is going to be excited to offering coverage of the event as well. So you're going to have to stay tuned for details surrounding that. But we, here in Wisconsin, we know that there is a lot of political and current event news that's breaking, and we will bring it to you here at Civic Media. So this event included, we're going to be thrilled to be able to provide that coverage. If you want to ask Dan a question or Will or I a question, 844-967-2789. We got Ross from Crawford calling in. Ross, what's on your mind on this Wednesday afternoon?
Hey, you guys. The question I'm wondering about, and it's kind of always been what I think of as the nightmare scenario of every election for both Democrats and Republicans. But for the Republicans, could you see someone like Chris Christie, if he's so against Trump, do you see him or some other person with that could run as a third party candidate that sort of run as an independent as a way to sort of hamstring Trump, or maybe just in general, do you see any kind of a third party person running on what you would think of as the libertarian or Republican side?
That's an interesting question, Ross. Yeah. Dan, you got any thoughts on a potential third party run for a more conservative or libertarian minded candidate?
Yeah, I think we've heard a lot of noise this year from kind of that no labels group talking about a third party run. And I do think, you know, depending on how the Republican primary plays out, you could see, you know, a more substantial version of kind of what was the guy who ran a few years, Evan McMullen or something like that, who ran as kind of like a non-Trump conservative option.
He was
got like the Charlie Sykes crowd very excited, but I don't know if anybody actually was excited outside of that group. But I think it's an interesting thing to think about, because, you know, if Trump doesn't win the primary, I'm pretty sure he's going to run as an independent of sorts, right? He's never going to say he lost. He's just going to keep running and running and running.
Wouldn't that be admitting defeat, though, in a way, Dan? Like, if he if he didn't run as the Republican nominee, say he were to lose the Republican nomination, by running as another party, as an independent or a libertarian or whatever it may be, if he was running as on the no labels ticket, that would be admitting defeat in the Republican primary, no?
Well, conceptually, by running right now, anyways, he's admitting defeat, right? In the sense that if he won the 2020 election, you cannot serve a third term, and he is running for a third term. So, you know, it's very easy to mental gymnastics your way into a situation that you can't get out of then.
I think generally you have to consider the real possibility of a third candidate running in this election, because whether if Trump wins, which that does seem like the most likely outcome, that he wins the Republican nomination, are you going to see one of these other candidates or somebody else in the Republican field kind of jump in and make a more substantial, realized third party type of run to just say, we're not for this. We're not because Trump has been unsuccessful. He's been bad for the Republican brand up and down the ticket. Like, are you going to have somebody else jump in? I think you have to think about that as a real possibility this year.
Well, and I think Joe Manchin just has, a Democratic senator from West Virginia, Joe Manchin, has indicated that, well, if the choice does come down to Joe Biden and Donald Trump, that's when he wants to get in to the race. He wants to be that third option then. And I don't necessarily see an electorate that would support Joe Manchin over the other two, especially on a historic third party run, because it hasn't been done before. Perot didn't do it. Nader didn't do it. They were all unsuccessful attempts in the past. And so, I mean, Teddy Roosevelt failed at running a third party candidacy. So it's a very difficult thing to do. I feel like this time of the election cycles are always the time when it gets thrown around as like, oh yeah, like I'm considering it then if I want to go, if I'm not happy with the Republican nominee, if I'm not happy with the Democratic nominee. The idea of third party always gets floated around now, but it's not necessarily the most serious suggestion when it comes to offering American voters an alternative to the two-party system.
Well, I think Dan's exactly right, though, about this unique situation regarding Donald Trump. If Donald Trump were to lose the primary, I could see him running third party. But if he wins the primary, I don't think there's any opportunity that any other candidate would step up and run third party. I believe it was a Bill Clinton's speech in 2003 where he said, you know, Democrats fall in love, Republicans fall in line. I would expect the majority of Republican establishment individuals to coalesce behind Donald Trump, just like they did in 2020, and just like they did in 2016, despite the fact that we heard for months and years in advance that, you know, we don't want him to be our candidate. We want to do all we can to stop him. It just doesn't come to fruition.
Yeah, I think you're right. At this point, Trump is the Republican Party. That's what it is. I mean, that's what he represents, the party. I don't think the pre-Trump Republican Party is coming back in any capacity. We're not getting the Mitt Romney, Paul Ryan type of ticket anytime soon for that party. And no matter what it is, it's all Trump for the Republicans. It really is.
So another question could be, is 2 weeks from today, is this the kind of audition for who could be the vice presidential nominee for if Trump is to be ultimately the nominee for the Republican Party once again? He's going to have to pick a running mate, and maybe that's why he's sitting this one out, potentially, if he doesn't show.
He literally posted that on Truth Social, Luke.
Did he?
He said, essentially, like, let them fight to determine who's going to be my VP, which I think is kind of hilarious. It's very confident. It's there's going to be a lot of voters who look at that and they're like, oh yeah, that dude's the man. He's the alpha because of that. That's prime Trump right there. That's genuinely funny.
I did not know that. He's not wrong. He's not. It's like the worst person you know making a great point.
Makes the great point.
and that's exactly what he's doing, because I mean, I don't think Pence is going to be the vice presidential candidate again, right? You know, so maybe that's what this debate ultimately is, an audition to be Trump's vice president. My goodness.
Well, we'll have to see. What we know for sure is Milwaukee will be the center of the political universe 2 weeks from today. Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area, thank you so much for joining us here on Town Call. If listeners want to find out more about Dan's work, head over to Substack, search the Recombobulation area. Dan, take it easy. We'll look forward to having you next Wednesday. At least we got to talk about the Pfizer Forum today a little bit.
That's right. We'll talk about Bucks next time.
Next time. Next time. Folks, if you missed any portion of the show, check out the podcast. We'll be back tomorrow at 12:15. Talk to you then.
Take it easy, party people.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party. You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our 15th. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward.
Always streaming on the Civic Media app.